Welcome back, everyone, to Campfire Tales. Tonight's video is about George Mallory, a man from Britain who was not only a teacher, but an avid mountain climber, if not the best for his time, and the story of his disappearance from Mount Everest in 1922. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up, and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. June, 1921. Mountain climbing has always been a passion for many people. And in the 1920s, it was more popular than ever. Probably because people were seeking fun after the dark and terrible years of the First World War, and mountain climbing was an excellent activity. Some people were so obsessive that they often took a day off so that they could go worship their hobby. They would climb any mountain, no matter how dangerous, in order to get to the top. They were often rewarded with breathtaking views, but the danger was always present. More than a few people die each year in their quest to summit the next peak. They would spend the entire day hiking up the mountain, admiring the view, and then hiking back down again. It was a way to forget about the war and feel alive again. George Mallory was considered the best mountain climber in the country. His exceptional skills and flexibility and exploration in difficult terrains were unrivaled. The members of Britain's Alpine Club could not agree more. He was in a league of his own. His unique abilities allowed him to access areas that nobody else could dream of reaching, making him the envy of all other climbers. They often talked about how his skills were unrivaled and how he was the best of the best. George graduated from the University of Cambridge and became a teacher as well. However, he regularly practiced climbing in the Alps and Wales. Although he had to give up the profession as he was serving during World War I, he returned to England after that. Not long after the war, the climb organized a trip to the Himalayas and the challenge of climbing Mount Everest. It was not a question that George could be suitable for the job. His experience and love for the sport made him a perfect candidate. He and some other experienced climbers were also chosen for the expedition. The Himalayas were a challenge that George could not resist anyway. The thought of scaling the tallest mountain in the world was exhilarating. He and the other climbers spent months preparing for the trip. They packed their bags with necessary supplies and equipment. They trained their bodies to withstand extreme conditions. When the day finally arrived, they set off with determination in their hearts. When the team arrived at the scene, first, they explored the area and surveyed the difficulty of the terrain. They made a plan of the possible routes up to the top. Guy Bullock, one of George's school friends, suggested a proper route as they were studying the map. In September, they set off, but had to cancel the climbing because of strong winds. Guy was exhausted and could barely move his arms or legs. He had been trying to climb for hours, but it felt like he was getting nowhere. Every time he tried to take a step forward, he slipped and slid back down the mountain. He was about to give up when George shouted at him while trying to ascend the steep side of the mountain. "We can't go up any further! Guy, it's too dangerous!" His words were lost in the howling wind, which whipped at their clothing and hair. If the wind had been just a little bit stronger, it would have picked them up and carried them off the mountain. The ground was slippery, and the loose rocks made it difficult to get a foothold. Guy was ahead of him, and George could see the fear in his eyes. Guy's hands were shaking, and he was having trouble keeping his grip. George knew they had to turn back. It was too dangerous to go any further. But he also knew that Guy would never agree to turn back. Guy was determined to reach the top. However, in 1922, George made another attempt. Bottled oxygen was already reachable equipment, but George did not need them. He reached more than 8,200 meters, but he had to turn back. There was a second attempt to get to the top, but it ended up in tragedy. 7 people were killed in an avalanche. When he came back to England, news of his expedition came from first hand and told us about his adventures. Although I envied him, I know the many dangers of expedition like this could hide. When he was chosen for the second expedition, he was not sure about going back. There is a limit, even for the best ones. However, he did care. One day he was interviewed by a newspaper reporter. "Why did you want to climb Mount Everest?" the reporter asked. "Because it's there," George answered. He returned to the Himalayas, and we never saw him again. This time, the environment was not pleasant either. Strong winds and heavy snow were serious obstructions. "I would say we can try it, shall we?" Andre Irvine, one of his companions, asked. He was a less experienced climber, but not afraid of heights. George nodded, and the two of them set for the summit after the necessary preparations. A member of the expedition, Noah Odell, claimed to have seen them leaving in the early morning when the mist dissipated. He was climbing behind them to give some support. According to him, they were reaching the rock formations called First or Second Step when he spotted them. That was the last time he was seen, and it was never known if they got further than the first step. When the news reached Britain, we all got shocked, and we never knew if the two had ever reached the top. Further expeditions found different items that they had left behind. In the 1930s, George's axe was found about 8,400 meters from the first step. And in 1975, another mountain climber, Wang Hongbo, found a body claimed to belong to a British person. After he delivered the local climbers association, he was killed in an avalanche and the accurate location was never found. In 1991, an oxygen bottle was found. These findings gave new hopes to solve the mystery, and a team set off to find their body in 1999. Surprisingly, they did find his body, and falling was the cause of his death that they reported. There were hopes that his camera would be found, but all he had was an altimeter, a pocket knife, a case, goggles, and some letters. The team could not, however, find Irvine's body. He was never found. George's daughter said that he had carried a photo of his daughter and his wife on him in order to leave it onto the summit when he gets there. However, he had no photo when he was found, giving a suggestion that he did reach the summit and left the photo there. This theory seems less likely if we think about the fact that nobody has ever seen such a photo on the top. On the other hand, it may have been Wang himself taking the photo for further identification. So the photo only gives more contradictions. According to the theories, they either continued their ways up to the top or George went further alone. He or they turned back, probably because they were running out of oxygen, and George falls while descending into the snowstorm, which turned around Noel. They left behind 2 things, their memories and the mystery. The memories are like a fog, blanketing their minds and refusing to dissipate. The mystery is like a cold case, unsolved and haunting. Mallory's fate was unknown for 75 years until his body was discovered on May 1st, 1999 by a research expedition that has set out to look for the climber's remains. They never did find Irvine, but they did find George on May 1st of 1999. The mystery will be truly, how did they die? Was it a fall? Did they freeze? Were they injured? Did they ever make it to the top? And who made it to the top? Did they both make it? Was it just George? Or did Irvine make it? And what happened to Irvine? So many questions to this unsolved mystery. Even though the body of George was found, there are still so many unanswered questions. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Share me with your friends, and again, like always, spread me like butter. Have a good night, and stay spooky.